Welcome to our Bible study on 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verses 6 through 13. I am assuming you have read the passage, that your Bible is open before you, and that you understand our translations may not always agree. I also want to invite you to our in-person Bible study held on Wednesdays at the Fellowship Hall of the Church from 5:15 until 6 p.m. Before we get into our passage, I will offer some historical background about Thessalonica and how the church there was established. Thessalonica was a large seaport on the northwest coast of the Aegean Sea, on the main highway to Rome. It was a cosmopolitan, multicultural city, the capital of Macedonia, and the seat of the Roman government of the area. Many religions had temples in the city, and there was at least one Jewish synagogue. Although Acts chapter 17, verses 1 through 9, pictures Paul's mission as centered in the Jewish synagogue, as we see in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9, the two letters to the Thessalonians represent the new Christians as converts from sophisticated pagan religions. In other words, the members were not irreligious people converted by Paul to be religious, but religious people who had responded to the gospel. In Acts chapter 15 and Galatians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10, we read about the Jerusalem Council meeting, which happened around 50 AD. But before that meeting, Paul and Barnabas served as missionaries of the Antioch Church in what is often referred to as the first missionary journey, which we read about in Acts chapters 13 and 14. After the Jerusalem Council, Paul had a confrontation with Peter. Apparently, Barnabas was also swept into Peter's behavior, which Paul saw as a misconduct on Peter's part, which we read about in Galatians chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. Later, in Acts chapter 15, 36 through 41, we read how Paul and Barnabas had a confrontation about missionary partners that ended badly, and Paul ended up choosing Silas and began a new mission, often called the second missionary journey, that established churches in Europe, Philippi, Thessalonica, Athens, and Corinth, which we read about in Acts chapter 15, verse 40, all the way through chapter 18, verse 21. And along the way, Timothy was recruited as a fellow missionary, and we see that at Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 5. So why am I telling you all this? Because after Paul, Silas, and Timothy established the church in Thessalonica, Paul went on to Athens and then to Corinth, which is apparently when Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians, which would have been around 50 AD, which means, drum roll please, 1 Thessalonians is the earliest Christian document of any kind that we have. Yay! But here's the thing. Paul was anxious about the new congregation. He knew they were experiencing harassment and persecution, as we see at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6, and chapter 2, verse 14. So during his trip to Athens, Paul sent Timothy back to encourage the church and to give Paul a report about how they were doing. Timothy brought back an encouraging report, but also news of distress, that some members had died, and apparently the new church had understood that Christians would all live to see the return of Christ, which we see at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18. And 1 Thessalonians is Paul's response to this situation. So that's the historical background. Unfortunately, the situation of 2 Thessalonians is not near as straightforward or clear. Even though our Bibles say it was from Paul, scholars are equally divided as to whether or not he actually wrote it. If it was, it was written a few weeks or months after 1 Thessalonians and reflects the same situation. Some contend it was written by a follower of Paul. Remember, such things were done at that time, who may have even had a copy of 1 Thessalonians with him when he wrote 2 Thessalonians. For example, look at these comparisons. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verses 1 and 2 with 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 1. And check it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verses 3 through 4 kind of equals 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 11 equals 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 3 also. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 13 equals 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 13. As well as other examples, which raises the question, why would Paul so slavishly follow his own letter? In fact, the only new elements are in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 verses 5 through 10 and 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 through 12. Otherwise, 2 Thessalonians covers the same topics in the same order as 1 Thessalonians. Regardless of who actually wrote 2 Thessalonians, as we've pointed out before on other books of the Bible, questions about authorship and dates do not diminish the authority and significance of the letter as sacred scripture. It is a part of the New Testament, and it is an authentic witness to the meaning of the Christian faith. As to our passage, one of the side effects of an eschatological, that means end times, misunderstanding is that it can upset people's schedules. If the Lord is expected to come soon, one response is to put down tools, fold the arms, and wait for his return, which perhaps is why both letters to the Thessalonians address those who are idle. In our passage, it's verses 6 through 7 and verses 10 through 12. And in 1 Thessalonians, it's at chapter 5, verse 14. In our passage, verse 6 begins with a specific command. Clearly, the writer does not want the church to be influenced by the conduct of those who are not following the example set by Paul. Although some translations use the word idle, it can also be translated as living in a disorderly way. That is, these disruptors were not giving themselves steadily to any task and were becoming a source of confusion and difficulty for others. The church is being reminded of the specific instructions given earlier in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1 and chapter 5, verse 14, and is being called upon again to emphasize it because of the serious disturbances that are resulting from it being ignored. At verse 7, instead of, "We were not idle when we were among you," the King James Version has the better translation, even though it sounds awkward. "We behaved not ourselves disorderly." This is the only place in the New Testament that this verb is used, and is really more of a military term, meaning we did not break ranks. This is followed in verses 8 through 9 by a specific example from Paul's previous visit and his ongoing life with the church. Paul lived this way not because he didn't have a right to expect support for his ministry, but so he would not be a burden, instead would be an example. At verse 10, the members are reminded of the phrase, "If anyone will not work, let him not eat." And while it is not found in any of Paul's letters, it certainly resonates with the proverbial wisdom we see in Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 11, and chapter 10, verse 4. Verses 11 through 12 is a play on words and basically means the busy ones, in other words, busybodies, are not really busy working constructively, but are working against the community by distracting others. It's not inactivity that's the problem, that's idle. It's the wrong kind of activity. Verse 13 shifts our attention away from those who are disorderly and meddlesome to those who are commended for their fidelity and faithfulness. They are encouraged that even under the weight of opposition and distraction, to not be weary in doing what is right. In conclusion, while we know that we are saved by grace, grace is not permission to be idle and certainly not to be distracting others who are working for the kingdom of God. This concludes our study. Thank you for listening. Take care and God bless.